good to be together, isn't it? Blessing for we're thankful for the ladies who are still here, because it just kind of makes it a little more special to have a balance in the congregation. So we're thankful for each of you who stayed behind, and thankful for the men who've come to join us today as well. Let's ask again for the presence of the Spirit as we spend time in God's Word. Lord, minister to us, we ask, through your Word. We ask that you'd convict us of the truths that are here for us today. That you'd help us to see not just the words, but the understanding that we can gain and grow spiritually by spending time together. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I've always liked the idea of treasure hunting. Now, it could be a little thing. When we were kids, I remember going with my mom, and we would go and hunt for treasure out in the field. Well, what we were really looking for were little sprouts of green that would come up, and by them you could find asparagus in the early spring. And we'd go hunting for treasure, and we'd come back with little bundles of treasure. I remember as a kid going out to our wrecking yard and digging behind the seats. In the cars, the old cars, the seats would pop out, and we'd pop them out. And there was hardly a car in the whole wrecking yard that had the back seat intact. It was all pulled out, and we'd search for all the coins and money that had fallen down in there. We did find some treasures. In fact, I think I've shared before that we found an actual diamond ring that was wired underneath a dashboard. Somebody had hid it there. Wonder about the story behind it. But there are all kinds of treasures there. We look for treasures, haven't you? Look for treasures, maybe hoping that somehow you'll find a prize, even in a garage sale, thinking that maybe you'll find something there that's hidden that others don't recognize. Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a merchant seeking fine pearls, who, having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had and bought it. This is actually in a series of parables found there in Matthew 13, and familiar to most of us. But I think that maybe we'll look at it a little different way than what you've seen it before as we spend some time together this morning. Really, the context is important for understanding it. We look at this parable and have one concept that comes to mind, and we're going to start with that concept, and that is the kingdom of heaven is claiming God as our pearl. And that's how we most often understand this parable, isn't it? Are we out there? That's how we most often understand this parable. We can recognize that there is an intentional search. And this is different than the preceding parable. The preceding parable is about a man who accidentally stumbles onto a treasure in a field. This parable differs in that there's somebody actually searching, intentionally searching for the pearl. The word merchant comes from a word, emeros, which is where we get the emporium from, a marketer. And this man was somebody who was a marketer, and he would come and he'd buy at wholesale and sell at retail and make a markup. He was somebody who went searching for valuables to see if he could find them. To see if there was a treasure, he was expecting and taking the time and putting in the effort. He was searching. He was a professional. He made it the purpose of his life. It would be a good purpose for our life, wouldn't it? To be to spend our life searching for the one who is the greatest treasure. To take our time and make ourselves professionals and being able to sort out the real value in things. Mel Fisher was exactly that, a treasure hunter. He continued to say, "Today is the day." And he went out and he looked every day for treasure. Now, he worked some other jobs part-time to support his habit of treasure hunting. Looking year after year for treasures that he'd found, especially one as he moved to Keys, Florida. Keys West, he found looking for a hurricane-wrecked ship, wrecked September 6, 1622. And he dove over and over again looking for that ship. It was actually after another hurricane came in that he began to think, you know, maybe things have been moved underneath the water with all the sand and silt being changed. And he went out and found 40 tons of gold and silver. The treasure actually worth $420 million. he found there 100,000 eightpence coins, all of gold, 1,000 bars of silver, ongoing treasure and wealth made him one of the richest men in the world almost instantly. 40 tons of silver and gold. The Atasha Motherlode, it was called. Are you searching? He would have never found it if he wasn't searching. Are you searching? Are you looking? Oh, it's not always easy. This wasn't just on the surface. It didn't just take one time. It cost him to search. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." It costs. In fact, it costs Mel 16 years of his life searching for that very treasure. It cost him over $1 million to find it. It cost him 100 court trials to keep it. But if you ask him if it's worth it, a smile would go across his face and he'd tell you for sure it was worth everything he put in, because he was able to keep it all. Well, except for what IRS takes. The cost, is it worth searching? Are you willing to pay the cost to find it? You have to estimate the pearl's value to decide whether you're willing to pay the price, if you're willing to take what it is. It's different in our society. You see, we have manufactured pearls in such a way that we now don't esteem a pearl in the same way. The Talmud said that the pearl is beyond price. They were so rare in their day and so much value, they were above the diamond. The Egyptians worshipped pearls. They would put them on a little platform and worship them. The Romans took it up and used them in their worship and began to build their icons with pearls. The pearl was counted in their day as the greatest gem. The pearl, through Egypt, seen as something to be worshipped. Right now, this pearl, the pearl of Allah, is the largest known pearl in the world. 14 pounds. One pearl, 14 pounds. If you look at it, it looks more like a brain than a pearl. Not perfectly shaped. It's worth estimated $59.75 million. One pearl, one gem. Looking at the things that you have, would you be willing to give them up for that gem? Let me repeat. $59.75 million. Is that a hard thing to figure out? Somebody was talking about a battle that they were having. My headset, I think I just add a little volume. Talking about a battle they were having over clothes. And they said, you know, somebody said that they received $5,000 to replace their wardrobe after it burned out. They said, you know, I think we could afford a fire. Do we have a fire at our house? Is it worth the cost? Have you thought about what it costs? $59 million. I suppose there's a lot of value in the eye of the beholder as we look and esteem what's of value and what's worth the cost. Jacob looking at serving for his esteemed wife was willing to give 14 years of his life for his wife. Let's see, what would that be? 40,000 a year times 14. He counted the treasures. Maybe a little bit more, men, you'd be willing to do that this week than last. This weekend more than last weekend, having missed for several of you wives. Is it worth the cost? Have you stepped back and said, what is it Because anything that's of value costs, doesn't it? There's a cost. It costs to keep your marriage. It costs to send a young person through and get education. It costs not just money, but time and effort. It costs to have a spiritual life, to maintain it, or a physical body, or for the work that you do. It costs. Are you willing to pay the price? It depends, because you will be willing to pay it if you value it as worth it. The real picture is what value we place. Where am I with the cost of coming into connection with Jesus? Is it worth the cost? An hour a day? Is it worth the cost? Somebody said that they were willing to change things in their health regime, that is, have one, because they counted the cost and said it would take more time to be sick. It would take more time to earn the money to pay for the health visits and the downtime and the hospitalization. It's worth to me taking the time to invest in my health. Is it worth taking the time to invest in Jesus? I saw a picture, and the picture's title was The Normal Christian Martyr. And I thought, I don't think of martyrdom as normal. But in their era, maybe it was. A time when laying down life was synonymous with becoming a Christian. And they valued Christ enough to do that. Where am I at laying down my life for Christ? There's so many things that occupy our time. So many things that call for attention, aren't there? So many things that draw us. It's hard sometimes. But we do. We do what we value. We give for what we value. What pearl am I looking for today? One worth living for. One worth committing to. Would I recognize what I have of value if it were in front of me? Do I understand the great gift that God is? Because sometimes the pearls we seek aren't worth it. The pearls we seek, we sometimes just don't esteem their value. And I think in some ways, the things that are really of value only in our own eyes and our own mind. Tale of Aesop's rooster out in the barnyard, out there scratching around, and suddenly runs across the barnyard because it seems a glisten. He lets out a great, what do you call that? He lets out a great attention-getting call. Can't say roar for a rooster. Crow. Cock-a-doodle-doo. He calls attention to the fact that he's found something. On closer examination, it is indeed a pearl. Perfect quality. And the barnyard all comes to admire. But he says in the fable, I would trade it in a moment for one pearl of barley or corn. What do you esteem? What do you value? There are pearls that the world gives us. Sometimes beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There, this coin, 1913 Liberty nickel, is worth a tremendous amount of money when you put the whole picture together. It's worth a year's pay. What do you esteem? This is actually a rock. Just a polished rock. Sometimes the things that we hold are passed off as if they really are of value, and they're nothing more than polished rocks. The world kind of gives us that kind of a approach, an image of something that we count as value. To hold out to us to say, value this. Count this as being important. Their rock may be pleasure, and it may be pleasure from the video arcade or pleasure from an incredible boat ride. It may be the pleasure of ice cream or the pleasure of crack cocaine. It may be the pleasure that the world holds out of a one-night stand or the pleasure of a deep, intimate, romantic time with your wife. But pleasure itself isn't the pearl. It's just a rock. Money? Are you keeping watch on the economy? Do you recognize the plummeting mortgage? The banks that are closing? Do you recognize some of the things that look and say, people are starting to feel insecure? And you know what they do when they start feeling insecure? They stop buying. You know what that does to our economy? Have you wondered what it might mean for end times? What about for your security? If your security is in stocks and bonds, and if your security is in your bank account, you may have something to worry about. But if it's in Christ, you don't. There's something more than a rock to be held out that the world holds. It's not in our future just to gather together the treasures that the world counts. The world looks at position and possession as the rocks that it holds out, polished as pearls, saying value these. But as you look closer, they don't fulfill. They're the world's kind of rock. Plastic pearls, on the other hand, plastic pearls can pass at a distance. It's sort of like morals. People are often considered good because of their morals, and they seek for moral behavior. And they think if their moral behavior is acceptable in the world's eyes, then they're going to be good and that they're going to have eternity. They go for the plastic pearls. They look good for a short while at a distance. Quite honestly, people who wear the plastic pearls don't really consider them of value, but they think others may be fooled. The world holds out rocks as pleasure. People pick up plastic pearls and pretend for others. And then they're the cultured pearls. Oh, those are even more dangerous. Cultured pearls are those that have something that's a veneer, just a coating, but in the center, they're not real. They may look good to everybody else. In fact, you could even fool yourself. It's a little bit like ceremonial, cultural Christianity that looks good on the outside but lacks the real core and center. You can even get to the place that you believe it's good enough yourself and that it passes for the real. But there's a real pearl worth giving up everything for. See, a pearl has to satisfy. Can you imagine giving up everything and sitting with this pearl? Even that pearl of Allah? What are you going to do? Put it on the table? And when it's time to eat, what are you going to eat? And are you going to snuggle close to it in bed? Is that going to give you warmth? You going to carry it with you for companionship? What will that pearl do for you for eternity? If you have the pearl, does it satisfy? Is it enough? Even the biggest pearl in the world, is it enough? Sometimes we look at other things to substitute, and we think that if we have family, it's enough. We think that if we have friends and loved ones that stand beside us, it's enough. But it doesn't satisfy. No family member ever gave their life for you. No friend conquered death. Who extended eternity to you? It was only one pearl that can satisfy. We can get mixed up and not treasure the value of the treasures that we have right with us. This penny, 1943 D, 1943 S, it's the wheatback pennies. Guess how much this is worth? 1943 is a long time ago. Special series, D and S. 50 cents. If it's in mint condition. Whereas this 1943, $10,000. Do you know the difference? A little mint number on the bottom. This happens to be copper. The others were made out of steel. You can use a detector or a magnet and just pick them up and recognize that there's a distinction between the two. Those that are magnetic have no value. Well, 50 cents. This, $10,000. You have to know what you're looking for. You can be fooled. In fact, they tell that people have tried to fool coin collectors by taking a 1948 copper pennies and filing off and then using acid wash to make it look like a 3 so they could fool them to get the reward. There's only one thing worth giving our life for eternally. That's Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? That's how we usually understand the parable. And if you look, I believe everything that I've spoken about who is the true pearl is absolutely doctrinally true. I believe that it's the picture of God and the kingdom. But I don't believe that's really what this text is talking about at all. All the things that we've said, I think are good and beneficial and what we've heard before, but I don't think that's the center of the text. I don't think that's what it's talking about. In fact, if you look at Matthew 13, what you'll find is that Christ is the merchant seeker. Could it be the parable starts, the parable of the soil, and says a farmer went out to sow his seed. In 24, it tells the parable of the weeds, and it says a man sows good seed. In 31, it says a man planted in the field, and each of those people are God. In fact, it says, Matthew 13, 37, he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Then this parable follows immediately. The parable of a merchant who goes out. Now, why should that man, that merchant, be considered us instead of God? These are all about the kingdom of heaven. This is the merchant who goes out to seek. It's God. Isn't it? Isn't it God who sought us to begin with? When you look at Adam and Eve, isn't it God who sought after mankind? When you look at the stories of who's pursuing who, isn't it the woman who goes out and looks for the coin? Who does that represent? Who's that woman? Is it us? And who's the shepherd who goes and looks for the lost sheep? And who's the father who goes out to look for the lost sons? I think as you look at the context of the story, could it be that the merchant who's looking for the pearls is God Himself? Luke 19:10 says, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Hasn't God always been the one that's initiated the search for us? Until He found something of great value. You know why the woman swept her house and looked for the coin? She valued it. You know why they went after the sheep when he already had 99? He valued it. And the sons, even after the son wandered away, he still valued him. He didn't write him off. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. He's saying, these things that are virtually counted expendable in the animal kingdom, yet the Father cares for them. And He says, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Do you know what God did? He went out searching for something of great value. It was His purpose, His plan, His intent. He did it with a mission in mind. It was His profession. The Son of Man came for this purpose, to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus holds us up as the apple of His eye. In Zechariah 2, verse 8, it says, "He who touches you touches the apple of His eye." He prizes us. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. I look at myself and say, why would He count me value, that much value? But somehow we've been special to Him. Since He conceived of us in His mind. Malachi 3, 16 and 17 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels." Who are the jewels that He's treasuring? Who is He looking after? There was a time when God looked around for something of value and found it in us. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to God Himself, who goes searching for a treasure of His people. Those who've come through trial. Ephesians 5:27, He says, He presents to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it shall be holy and without blemish, a church that has come through. And what does He do when He finds us? When He sees us in value, when He recognizes us, when He holds us up and to say, "This is the treasure I found." What it said is that He gives. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. How? In his joy. The sacrifice that he makes is done joyfully for the purchase which he's going to make. Hebrews 12:2 says it this way, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne." While it's true that we may pay a price for receiving Christ, it's Christ who's paid the great price to buy us. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own, 1 Corinthians says. God went searching, and when He saw the value in me, He was willing to give everything, to leave heaven itself, to come and become a man, to take death upon Himself, separation from His Father, in order that we could be together. And then, with joy, He's thrilled to get us. That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is about a God who's gone searching for His treasure and is willing to pay all to get it back. Who counts it of such enormous value that He's willing to give. It's all true that we have a part to play in receiving, but it's God who's the seeker. Maybe you've never counted yourself as a pearl of great price, seeing the value that God's placed on you, but He has. Imagine that you've been treasured so much that God is willing to pour out His own blood, His life, to have you with Him, to me. The story is not just about a kingdom, it's about a God who's fallen in love with us, who can see past our imperfections and our faults and our failures and see the treasure that He's found in us. It's about a God who counts as His one purpose and mission to have us back together and sees that as His reason for coming. I want to sing of my Redeemer, don't you? To praise God for all that He's done. To be a part of the group that raises my voice in thanksgiving for the pearl merchant who's come to seek You.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon. Tamed the dead and made me free. I will tell a wondrous story, how my loss is day to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Sing, oh sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Let's pray. God, we want to thank You that not only can we find in You our pearl of great price, but You treasure us as Your pearl, worth giving the greatest price. Thank You, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is about a man finding his treasure, and You found it here. Help us to be responsive to the call to be drawn to You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.